Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters, my co-host. The Top Cat is under the weather and is not able to join us, but we are both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we do have an outstanding show coming up for you tonight, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make the show possible, including the great folks out at the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And remember, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You don't necessarily have to have a discussion about one of the conversations that we are having. You can always bring up the topic of your choice if you'd like. So you can always join us to talk about the issues that are important to you. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. You can follow us on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you are one of those that likes to listen on demand, you can get the podcast of our regularly aired programs on most of the major podcast sites. Just search for Scuttlebutt or SBN, and you can pull those up. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, hit podcast of his tirades are available at castbox.com. Again, just search for Scuttlebutt or SBN, and you'll be able to find those. And if you subscribe, you'll get updates to let you know when additional tirades have been uploaded. So plenty of ways to enjoy the Scuttlebutt, not only when we're on air, but at your leisure. As always, we've got a packed show coming up for you tonight, so you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com if we don't get to all of the topics, or if you'd like more information on any of the topics that we do discuss, which include the new VA secretary pledges to clean up the mess in his own backyard at the scandal-plagued D.C. Veterans Affairs Medical Center. The question is, why hasn't it already been done? And that's something we'll delve into, and you can talk with us if you'd like. Also, with the return of remains of our Korean War dead, when can the families expect closure? We will talk about it. And VA Secretary Robert Wilkie warns that a key VA program could collapse without a fix. We'll tell you what he thinks needs the fix and how he plans to do it. Also, the Forever GI Bill goes into effect this month. It's something we talked about, but we will give you the details on it. Also, we'll remember our Purple Heart veterans for Purple Heart Day. And even though he's out of the studio, Tom's coming back with his tirade on Keep 'Em Separated, brand new and you don't want to miss. But first, the Blue Water Navy veterans from the Vietnam War have long been waiting to get their piece of the VA pie when it comes to benefits. Many claim to have contracted illnesses associated with the defoliant agent Orange that was used in Vietnam. And many thought they'd found a champion in President Donald Trump. But testimony from leaders at the VA may put the brakes on their case. May not, but a couple of stories. One really hit while we were on air last week, and then there's been a couple of follow-ups. But the story, both stories, I think, are from military.com. But this is coming from last week. But the Department of Veterans Affairs has opposed a bill, and the testimony was last Wednesday, that the bill has overwhelming bipartisan support in the House and Senate, and it would extend Agent Orange health care and disability benefits to blue water sailors who served offshore during the Vietnam War. And when they introduced the bill, we talked about it. There are some ways that they're robbing from Peter to pay Paul here. But Paul Lawrence, the undersecretary for benefits at the VA, went before Congress and basically told him, well, he said, quote, "The science is not there to show that the freshwater systems of Navy ships were contaminated by Agent Orange." He went on to say it's difficult to hear from all the veterans who are ill as they file claims. But he said, quote, "There's no conclusive science," end quote, from a report by the Institute of Medicine to show a service connection. Now, what the claim is based on the fact that there was runoff from the rivers and streams into the sea, and that the Navy's process of using the seawater, they would have picked up the runoff and what was left of the Agent Orange in that process. Now, the part of the issue here is that there was a study by the Institute of Medicine, part of the National Academy of Sciences, that was trying to correlate a study that was done by Australia that said that the Australian study said that there was a connection, that the Australian ships close to shore could have been contaminated with Agent Orange. However, the U.S. is saying that they drew water from at least 12 miles offshore, where any presence of dioxin would have been diluted. So you've got a little bit of back and forth just on the science right there. You also have the politics which come into it, because the major veteran service organizations, the major VSOs, along with, as they said, a bipartisan group of folks in Congress, they are looking to bring this group of veterans into the VA fold, bring it in so that they can get disability benefits and everything that goes along with it. One, in the offset, at least in the House version of the bill, which passed unanimously, the money, the offset, the money to pay for the payments to these Blue Water Navy vets would come from an increase in payments from non-disabled veterans who use the VA's home loan program. So there's the offset. They can say, well, look, we're going to pay for it. Of course, you're making someone else pay for it because you're increasing fees to another veteran. And this is how they'll play it, one way or the other. It'll either be, oh, well, you know, we tried and they wouldn't let us do it because it was going to increase this, that, and the other. The key here that, to me, is that in his testimony, Undersecretary Lawrence, as I told you, he said there's no credible scientific evidence to support extending. He said without such evidence, it would be wrong, first off, but it would also create a disastrous precedent to award VA benefits. And he actually threw it in the face of the committee, the Senate committee. He said, the committee set a standard to use science to be fair and consistent in cases such as this. Once that standard, and he actually referred the Agent Orange Act of 1991. But he said, once that standard is removed from the equation, it becomes nearly impossible to adjudicate a claim of this type on the merits. The resulting lower threshold sets in motion the prospect of uncontrolled demands for VA support. Now, again, understand that we are not saying that there are not veterans out there who may have been in the Blue Water Navy who may be suffering from illnesses. However, the problem is if you don't have the scientific correlation to go from A to B, then the entire house of cards comes down. And just about anyone who wants to make a claim against the VA can do so, and you no longer have to have scientific or medical evidence to do it. And that is the challenge. I think you've got to look at both sides of this story before you jump to the conclusion that this is something that is going to be good for all veterans. Hey, love to hear from you on how you feel about the issue. You can always check with us at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, cleaning up the VA mess in your own backyard when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Again, you can always catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. Check us out on Facebook, and you can also follow me on Twitter. And we were talking prior to the break about the possibility of extending benefits to the Blue Water Navy veterans of Vietnam and for Agent Orange. And Kevin is on the line and wants to talk about it. Kevin, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me. Yes, sir. It was good to see the House voting 100% on that. Right, I've got a good friend of mine that's actually caught up in that. But the problem that I have is them using our veteran pawns, because they look around and they say, well, is this conducive to me to vote yes on this or no? And I really hate that the Congress and Senate are doing that to our veterans right there. You know, these people that have served honorably and were discharged, we need to take care of them for the long run. The ones that were killed in action, we need to take care of their families. So I'm so tired of them putting illegal immigration above our veterans, and whether they're active duty or they're retired out. We need to take care of these men and women that served on. You know, I am glad to see here in town that we're getting the new VA hospital there at the end of Demetropolis. I think that's going to serve our Erie veterans without having to go to Pensacola or Biloxi or further than that. So that is a good thing that that our legislators have done here. But they really need to be held accountable and look at their voting act, what they've done when it comes to things like this. We need to go back to the basics. We need to take care of our veterans.
Well, and Kevin, let me ask you a question. With that in mind, you have a vote in the House that was unanimous. Now, they're asking non-disabled veterans to pay more for their home loans through the VA to be able to pay for these benefits to the Blue Water Vietnam veterans that may have incurred some illnesses. The bigger challenge is you have the VA is currently the second largest agency in the federal government. You have hundreds of thousands of employees serving about 9 million veterans. The budget for the VA, and think about this when you think about the overall economy over the last 10 years, the budget for the VA has already doubled over the last 10 years, mainly because most of the folks in Congress know that if they vote no on a veterans issue, it could come back to bite them because veterans will come out to vote. So is the question here, are they doing this for the right reason? Or as the VA undersecretary said, if you don't follow your own rule, Congress, which says there needs to be a scientific correlation, a medical correlation, you're opening up a can of worms that could eventually just bankrupt the whole system.
Well, they are right there, and they did, there has to be science behind there, absolutely. But the problem is the monies that have been misallocated over the years, say for things like illegal immigration, other things right there, they can go in and cut their own budget. And by doing that, not having to raise on some veterans that aren't applied or using any of those VA benefits at the time. Understandably, over the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, things are going to go up. But I think if they go clean their own backyard up, look at the mismanagement of funds, they can find the money.
Well,
they can also do this. The Congress and the Senate, they can cut their budgets. They can cut their raises as well and help to fund that also. They need to start putting their money where their mouth is, and that's where the voters come in. And we can vote these people in, and we can vote them out. They need to check their voting record, and they don't need to vote by saying, if I don't do this, you know, it's going to be political suicide. They need to do the right things for our veterans, but they need to look out for them and their families first.
Absolutely. Well, Kevin, we appreciate you listening. Thank you for calling. I can't say that I disagree with you when it comes to looking at voting records, looking at seeing if and when these votes are simply for political expediency, because it kind of looks like the deck is stacked against the VA here, that you have the major veteran service organizations, which they want to play politics as well, and you have some senators and congressmen on both sides of the aisle, obviously, that are looking to move this forward. Again, we're here at Scuttlebutt Network to advocate for things that are good for our veterans. One of the things we have also cautioned against is turning our veterans into welfare queens. It's a great tirade if you want to go and look it up, Warriors to Welfare Queens. But we have to be able to take a look at how these people vote on a consistent basis. If they are simply playing politics and using our veterans as pawns, they need to go. If they're doing it for the right reasons, let's get them in there. Let's keep them in there. Veterans need to realize there are enough of us and our dependents out there that if we actually came together and voted as a block, we're stronger than any other demographic that's out there, to be honest with you. The problem is the politicians have figured out that they can play us one against the other. They can play one era against the other. They can play one illness against the other. They can even play one service against the other. The Marines normally win, but anyway, you know, but all joking aside, they figured out how to divide us, and we need to figure out how to continue to come together. I would just throw this out there. If they're going to say, okay, we're going to allow the disability claims of the Blue Water Navy vets from Vietnam, then my next question is, what about the burn pit, the folks that are saying they have problems with the burn pits from Iraq and Afghanistan? There's a tenuous link there. Obviously, folks are getting sick because they were exposed to it. What about Gulf War syndrome, which is a very nebulous group of illnesses that they still haven't necessarily tracked down? I'd take it back to the atomic veterans from World War II that still get claims denied because they can't go with, but there is not an absolute cause and effect. Of course, most of those veterans are gone. So why this and why now is my question. Kevin, you got any final thoughts?
Well, on that, you're right there, because I had sergeant majors that were in some of those atomic experiments right there, so I got to see that firsthand, too. The other thing is, there's not a right way or wrong way, but part of this, you said it right, they're waiting for a lot of these guys to go ahead and die off or they don't have to pay the claims there. There's not a right way or a wrong way on this, so it's a lose-lose situation. Until they go back and say, you know what, we've got to fix this problem with the VA. We've got to put veterans first. We've got to take care of their illnesses right there. And right, you're right. Do not turn it into a welfare state, because that would be the wrong thing to do, to think you join the military and get a check for life.
Absolutely.
You don't want that there. You want people to serve honorably. So like I say, they really need to shore this up. Like I say, you wish there was a magic wand you could do that. But the main thing is, our veterans that are sick, we need to put them and prioritize them first and take care of them and their families.
Absolutely.
That's my final thought. God bless America.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your thoughts. Obviously, he feels very passionate about that. I know he mentioned a connection to an atomic war veteran. My dad was an atomic veteran who fought with the VA about it and really got nowhere. And again, I think if he mentioned there's no winners or there's no winners, no losers. The losers in this whole thing are our veterans, because they are being played as political pawns by the folks. And it's not just inside the Beltway. It's at the state houses and even locally. And that's where we've got to come together as veterans and say, we're done with you dividing us. We're going to come together and we're going to vote together on the things that make it right for our veterans. And part of that is cleaning up some of the mess that exists at the VA. Kevin mentioned it. He said there's so much waste. There's so much. If they could fix the budget at the VA and stop wasting money, which they do, I mean, great, it's the federal government. They're going to do that. But here's a story about the new VA secretary, Robert Wilkie. He's 2 weeks into his job. He pledged to clean up the scandal-plagued Washington, D.C. Department of Veterans Affairs Medical Center, where inspectors have found doctors using rusty surgical tools and identified a sense of, quote, complacency in the facility's leadership. Now, you would think maybe this happened, last month. No, these are issues that came up over a year ago. Now, if you were the Chinese restaurant around the corner, and they came in and found you using rusty equipment, and there were rat droppings, and you weren't keeping the food at the proper temperatures, they would shut you down immediately until you fixed it. And yet here we are, that you've got staff shortages, you've got bad equipment, you've got $92 million in supplies and equipment that were purchased without proper controls to see if they were needed. And yet here we are, 17 months later, and it hasn't been fixed. And you can say, well, you know, there was some turnover at the top. I don't care. There should have been turnover at this facility. I mean, I can't fathom walking into a facility and somebody holds up, you know, a knife, a scalpel that's rusty, and you're going to allow them to continue with a procedure. And it just boggles my mind that no one steps up and goes, this is insane. It's great that Wilkie is saying he's going to fix it. It's great that Wilkie has suddenly decided he's going to go walk the halls of these VA facilities so that they know who he is and he knows what's going on. My question is, why the hell hasn't somebody been doing that, well, every year and every week to make sure that our veterans are taken care of? Why do we have to wait for some bombshell report for them to think that there's a problem? Anyway, you see, it's amazing what happens when Tom's not here. I get to go off the handle. Anyway, if you want more information on that, you can always go to the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. On the other side of the break, our return of our Korean War remains, and also another warning from the VA secretary. We'll return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters. Co-host Top Cat is under the weather, so I'm flying solo this evening. But nonetheless, we're glad you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our numbers, 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can always check us out on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, you can listen to our regularly aired programs via podcast on most of the major podcast sites. Just simply search Scuttlebutt Network or SBN. And if you'd like to listen to Tom's tirade and get your blood pressure going, you can pick up Tom's tirade via podcast at castbox.com. scuttlebutt.com. So plenty of ways to listen and to enjoy the Scuttlebutt, even when we are not live. We also want to thank the folks that help make the show possible, the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens. And real quick, before I want to get into the this next story from the VA secretary, and you know, with a brand new VA secretary out there, obviously all eyes are going to be on him running what has been an embattled agency. I think they have had about one VA secretary per year over the last 5 years, and with problems coming from all fronts. But in a bit of good news, but maybe a little bittersweet, of course. We talked about last week the return of 55 cases of remains that were returned by North Korea of soldiers that were missing in action, or at least remains. The families had some of their items had been returned. There was a dog tag that was returned just today. That was apparently the only dog tag, but there were some other personal items that had been found, and I know they're trying to get those to the families as quickly as possible. However, there are actually two soldiers who'd been listed as missing from Korea that are having funerals this week. And just to give you an idea of the timeline that some of these folks may be facing, the POW MIA accounting agency said the funeral for Army Sergeant William A. Larkins of Pennsylvania will be held on Friday. Larkin's remains were among those recovered in a joint field activity in North Korea in 2005, and he was finally identified on May 4th, 2017, 12 years after the remains were brought back. Larkins was 20 years old when he went missing December 1950. Also, a funeral will be held for Army Corporal Terrell J. Fuller of Georgia. Fuller's remains were among 208 boxes of commingled human remains turned over by North Korea from 1990 to 1994. He was finally identified this April. So, you know, we obviously, it is the purpose and the mission of the U.S. to never leave anyone behind, to make sure that these heroes are brought home. And with the technology that we have, certainly there are some remarkable things that we can do in trying to piece together to give these families closure. Unfortunately, it may be generations down the line that finally get that closure. But the good news is that the U.S. continues to work towards that, not just on the Korean Peninsula, but around the world. As I said, one of the other things with the new VA secretary, all bets are off. Everybody is focusing on what he is doing and what he is saying. And he issued a warning of sorts that if the VA is not able to, what he said, as he claims, fix the system that's in place, which basically replaced the Veterans Choice Program that, you know, Trump had signed a bill earlier this year to expand access. This is for veterans wishing to see private doctors and providers to ease the burden on families. They're not driving as far, that kind of thing. There's all, you know, sort of hoops and hurdles. But Wilkie said, if the federal government falls short, quote, then the entire system collapses. He is most worried, apparently, about the fact that the VA has not been paying. Now, he said in the last 8 to 9 years, now the VA, the Veterans Choice Program, didn't start until 2014. So I don't know if his numbers are off. I know that obviously the VA was paying outside providers for certain things. Obviously, it was expanded in 2014. But if Wilkie is saying that the VA has been stiffing doctors, as he said, small town doctors, community hospitals, emergency care facilities, then I would think there's some way that they can rectify that situation. But B, I would think that it wouldn't take long to be able to get those payments properly accounted for, and if figure out where the problem is. You know, if it's on the accounting side, if the numbers aren't there, if it's sloppy paperwork, whatever it might be, to figure out what it is that is causing the problem. And to me, the question is, if these doctors have not been getting paid, who are they complaining to, and why has this not come out? If this has been going, you know, as he said, 8 to 9 years, I'm wondering exactly the time frame. But I'm wondering if the next step in this fix for him is if it's going to be going back to Congress and saying we need even more money for this program. Because just President Trump had signed just not long before his confirmation hearing, President Trump had signed a $55 billion bill to fix the Veterans Choice Program because it was that far behind. That program was going to go belly up without the additional funding. My next question is if that money has not been paying the bills, then where has it been going, and are the funds allocated somewhere to pay these doctors that have not been getting the money that they have earned by treating our veterans? We'll have to see exactly how this plays out. Obviously, it's a disturbing problem. I'm certain that Wilkie will do everything that he can to make sure that the program stays in place to take care of our veterans. I think he is committed to that. So anyway, Sarah is on the line. Sarah, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for joining us on the Scuttlebutt.
I'm so glad I could catch you guys. I was rushing to get out of work. I work for a retail pharmacy, and I listen to y'all every week that I can. But everybody is coming in and telling me that the VA has closed their pharmacy.
Yes.
But most of the veterans coming in don't have a way for us to get them covered through the VA. They're telling me that they're having to get reimbursed, and some are telling me that they just don't know where to go at all. So I wanted to call and see, what can I tell these people to help them?
Because
discount cards are helping, but it's not enough.
There's really one of two things they can do.
Okay.
The simplest, but it's going to take a little more time, is they can drive over to Biloxi to be able to get their prescriptions filled there. And that's probably the most direct route. And the challenge there is, don't wait until you're out. You've got to make sure you go ahead of time. Yeah. I just spoke with a veteran this past week, who encountered the exact same problem and had been without his meds for a certain medication for 10 days. And you certainly don't want that.
Yeah.
The other thing to do is, when they're there, most of the prescriptions that the VA fill can be done by mail order. And if they don't want to drive to Biloxi until the clinic is open and with new pharmacy here, that is probably the simplest route going forward. Because if they do the mail order, and they can do that while they're over in Biloxi, while they're getting that prescription, they can tell them, here is what I want to have done in the future. Unless they like driving over to Biloxi, you know, the beach has been beautiful this time of year. But if they don't want to make that drive, then yes, they can do mail order. In many instances, if there's a copay or anything associated with it, it is cheaper to do that 90-day mail order. Now, once they get the pharmacy up and running here at the new facility, then they could switch that back if they like going in to be able to get that done. I know, you know, it's many of them aren't comfortable getting them by mail, but that may be a necessary evil until the new clinic gets up.
Okay. And my other question is, a lot of the vets that I do talk to here don't know how to communicate to be able to find out what is available to them? Is there an 800 number or a website that they can go to that I can direct them to that can help out, you know, just for general assistance to find out what they qualify for?
Now, are you talking about qualifying for, let's say, disability and benefits or on the healthcare side?
On the healthcare side, and I mean, you don't know how many vets. They really don't, because I hear you guys talk about programs and stuff that help vets, and a lot of the vets that come in don't even know that they are available. I don't know how things are communicated to the vets that we have, but they're acting like they've never even heard of some of these things.
Well, in many instances, and I'll try to continue to answer the question. We're coming up on the break, Sarah, so thanks for listening.
Sorry.
Thanks for calling. But it depends on the generation. A lot of the veterans that are coming out and have come out over the last, say, 5 to 8 years, they're getting some extensive transitional training and advice. Many of them didn't want to deal with the VA or don't want to deal with the VA when they first come out. Probably the most expansive resource just from veterans benefits at the federal level is va.gov. From there, they can jump into the disability side, they can jump into the benefits, which is home loans and everything else, and they can also jump into the healthcare side, which is the healthcare system. So va.gov is probably the most extensive. From there, if they want to look at if it's an employment question, or resources at a local level, then probably their best bet is to jump on thescuttlebuttnetwork.com, shoot us an email, tag us on Facebook, and we'll try to hook them up with the folks here locally that can help them out. So, Sarah, thank you so much for calling. Thanks for listening, and thanks for helping out our veterans. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Keep 'Em Separated. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
America's best 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
The plight of children who accompany their parents illegally across the border into the United States has captured the attention of the press the past few weeks in the latest attempt to distract the American people from the successes of President Trump and the abject failure of the Obama administration, along with its progressive partners in Congress, to pass any type of immigration reform during his 8 years in office. Instead, politicians and their media puppets continue to lambast the longtime practice of separating children from their criminal parents, mainly into foster care or other temporary housing situations, while their parents are detained. To fix the root problem, aliens entering the country illegally would both remove a progressive talking point used to garner votes and expose the progressive left as nothing more than advocates for open borders and an end to a sovereign United States. Many of these, such as Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democratic senator from New York, are really nothing more than closeted communists. Gillibrand is perhaps among the most dangerous of their ilk, wrapping herself in the flag of feminism and equality while advocating for policies that in time will destroy the Constitution. Just remember, Gillibrand was the political voice behind the faux military sexual assault epidemic, spouting statistics designed to shock the average American into thinking that there was a rapist behind every $1,000 toilet seat, when in reality the percentage of assaults in the military were far less than those in the general population. For more details on the numbers, check out my tirade, "Just President Obama, There Is a Rule of Law," from 5 years ago. That is how long Gillibrand has been spewing her particular style of anti-Americanism. The true purpose of her witch hunt had less to do with rooting out rapists and more to do with erasing the chain of command from the UCMJ. In other words, destroying traditional law and order in America. So the spectacle of kids in cages like something from an ASPCA commercial was the perfect progressive propaganda piece. You halfway expected Democrats to start running ads to raise money. For just $19 a month, you can help us talk more about how bad President Trump is for enforcing a law passed by Democrats under Bill Clinton. Then again, who hasn't been under Bill Clinton?
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Bad top cat. Anyway, in what is yet another nothing to see here scandal, the actual number of children separated from their parents has been estimated to be somewhere in the range of 3,200. Progressives claim that this is the utmost and inhuman treatment of kids. Of course, these are the same folks who thought that it was a good policy to send Elian Gonzalez back to communist Cuba. They claim that these children are being unjustly punished because they are here only because of their parents who made a choice to drag them from an innocent slumber south of the border and invade the capitalist utopia to the north in search of a better life on the Democratic plantation. However, their claims of wanting to reunite these families on humanitarian grounds ring false when they fail to recognize that the parents of these kids, now being clothed, fed, and sheltered by your tax dollars, chose to cross the border knowing that what they were doing was illegal and that separation was a very real possibility. They will cry that it was not the fault of the Chicos y Chicas, but their parents. And the poor things should not have to suffer because of their parents' bad choices. Really? You're going to use such a pathetic emotional argument to denigrate the laws and sovereignty of our country? Well, of course you will, because that is your true purpose. Nonetheless, if we want to take that approach, then why are these bleeding hearts not decrying the separation of American families at the hands of law enforcement? Putting a child in temporary housing or foster care when their parent engages in illegal activity is standard practice, even for U.S. citizens. A bit of information that's been largely ignored is that there are a large number of American children who've been separated from their parents and placed in foster care when their parents are incarcerated. According to the Department of Health and Human Services, an estimated 20,939 American children were put in foster care when a parent was incarcerated in 2016, and a whopping 166,000 were removed from their parents simply due to neglect. I would offer that the children of parental illegals fall into both categories. But you won't hear the progressives lament these children because to do so would equate the illegal alien parents of those separated with criminals and deadbeats, which they are. Instead of being valiant providers seeking nothing more than a new life for their future Democratic Socialist voter, you also won't hear progressive moaning about the over 300,000 innocent children literally ripped from their mother's womb by the infanticide providers at Planned Parenthood, of no hopes with being reunited with a loving parent. Moreover, you will never hear from them mention the over 700,000 U.S. children who are separated from their parents right now because one or both of their parents made a choice to sacrifice and serve their country in our armed forces. That's right, over 700,000 children will go to bed tonight separated from their parents because the parent volunteered to defend this nation from the illegals that voluntarily cross our borders, defy our laws, and place their children in harm's way through their actions. But you won't hear Gillibrand or Schumer or Pelosi, I hate to even say that word, crying for these children because to do so would highlight the stark differences in the actions of their parents. Red-blooded American patriots serving to protect our freedoms versus illegal alien criminal parasites looking to destroy the system of government which allows for the same. They won't bemoan the flight of these American children because at their heart they despise our military and all for which it stands. They mock those in uniform, believing them to be uneducated and unworldly deplorables. To them, the children of those in uniform deserve the hardship because their parents likely will never vote Democrat or progressive or socialist or communist or whatever the latest brand name is. That is why the simplest solution to this problem is to build a wall. It will keep these neglectful parents from making bad choices to bring their kids across the border, only to have them ripped from their arms and forced to star in the next round of progressive propaganda. Until then, You have to
keep them separated.
For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton, and God bless the Patriots making true sacrifices for their kids.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
Hold up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jeff!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans on 106.5, streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Some good words from the Top Cat there. Probably some numbers you didn't know about the dependents of service members that might be staying by themselves, ripped apart from their families because their loved ones choose to serve. Hey, we are remembering all of our Purple Heart veterans. Yesterday was Purple Heart Day, and we're remembering their sacrifice. That's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.